a light bulb went off and it all made so much sense. So that really gave me the impetus to write down the things that I experienced so that other people who may have experienced something similar don't feel alone. And also to give people the courage to write their story, whether or not anyone ever sees it. Sometimes just the act of writing can be therapeutic, and it's okay to write what scares you.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by both books, Going North, Tips and Techniques to Advance Yourself, and the follow-up bestseller, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. Head over to Amazon.com, pick up both books. They are available in a trifecta of paperback, audio, and ebook. Cop all three of both and be on the lookout for another book from yours truly to help podcasters succeed. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Build Up for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of PodcastGuest.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And the good news is you can have your one-page sheet out if you want to be an aspiring guest. And if you're a podcast host, you can have your show shout out to freaking thousands upon thousands of freaking folks across the interwebs and the globe. And today's guest made it through the giant haystack, y'all. That's right, indeed. We found the diamond needle in the haystack, y'all, because today's wonderful guest, indeed, she's an award-winning, best-selling author, y'all. That's right, indeed. She ain't just won awards, but she knows how to sell, too, y'all. She's a magical mom, a book marketing and author branding strategist, as well as a social media trainer, sexual abuse survivor, as well as an advocate for sexual abuse survivors. And she's the founder, y'all. She found something. She's the founder of Bad Redhead Media. But don't worry, redheads are freaking great. So let's give it up for the radiant and talented Rachel Thompson.
Thank you so much. Wow, what an intro, Dom. I'm very excited to be here. And it was so great. The podcast.com just sort of showed up. I filled out the form. And then within a couple of days, here we are. It's fantastic. So thank you for having me. I'm very honored.
Woohoo! Honored to have you here. Indeed, we got a survivor, y'all. That's right, indeed. We got a Destiny's Child in the building, baby. Oh, man. But hey, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 57.5 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 57.5 seconds of what makes Rachel the lady that she is today. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you?
Well, sure. I just turned 60 this year, so for me, that was a big one. I have been writing professionally for about 15 years, and I started my business in 2011, which is all about helping writers with their author branding, social media, blogging, newsletters, websites, SEO. Like, I do all of that stuff for people. I'm a one-woman show, and I am a survivor, and I am a woman-owned business. And so I really try to make sure when I connect with people that we connect on a deeper level than just, hey, can you throw some tweets up for me? I love to learn everybody's stories so that I feel comfortable being able to represent them. So it's a process, but I love it. I was in big pharma for 17 years, hated it. I say recovered now. Thank you very much. But it was, you know, it was a good lesson in the corporate life and relationship building and marketing and advertising and sales and all the stuff that I love now in my own business. So for that, I'm very grateful. Everything, you know, brings us forward in different ways. And so that had to happen. And so I've been able to successfully take care of my family through the pandemic, and I've published 8 books. I'm working on 2 more. So there's just a lot going on.
Woohoo! There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's got it all and the kitchen sink, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right. Let that sink in for real, y'all. That's right, indeed. That sink got arms and legs for a reason. Let it in. She's got it all,
That's
y'all.
Right. That's right. Well, I started writing about being a survivor in, it was like my third book, and that became a series. So there's three books out called the Broken series. So it's Broken. I have to do it in order in my, for myself. Broken Pieces is the first one. I make it 99 cents. Literally anybody can purchase that book, the ebook. Then there's Broken Places. And the final one was Broken People. And I've won some nice, lovely awards and things. But the most important thing for me is that people understand that they're not alone, because so few people will ever discuss being a survivor openly. The typical age for somebody to talk about being a childhood sexual abuse survivor is 51. And that was about the age when I started seriously marketing this work. So it's been a challenge, because I didn't realize a lot of the things growing up that I, the behaviors or the feelings or the anxiety or panic, I didn't realize it was all related to that. And when I was finally diagnosed with having PTSD, it was like a light bulb went off and it all made so much sense. So that really gave me the impetus to write down the things that I experienced so that other people who may have experienced something similar don't feel alone. And also to give people the courage to write their story, whether or not anyone ever sees it. Sometimes just the act of writing can be therapeutic.
So right indeed. So right indeed. Interesting stat. My goodness, 51. Shoot, that's definitely a heck of a stat. In a way, and sexual abuse it was even worse than happened in childhood, no less, which is even worse on top of that. Mm-hmm. Like some of my past guests who've been through that, they're probably in that range when I think about it.
So yeah, well, you know, the stats from RAINN, which is RAINN, it's the top leading organization to help people who are survivors. You just go to RAINN.org. They say that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18. And 92% of the time, they know the person.
Yep. Yep. It's insane. My goodness. So what helped you get the confidence to be able to go into that dark past and memory and actually write about it and then actually publish multiple books about it?
You know, that's a really good question. I always knew I wanted to be a writer. When I was 10 years old, I asked my parents for, you know, a nice set of pens and some paper and a desk, because I wanted to be an official writer, and I wouldn't be an official writer unless I had a desk. So I remember having that desk all the way through college. It was not the greatest desk, but it was my desk, you know, and that encouraged me with my writing. My teachers encouraged me. I did a lot of creative writing and journalism in college. And then I went into pharma sales, which had nothing to do with writing whatsoever. But, it, you know, it was a good living. I had gotten married. We were having babies. Like, it paid bills. And then it got to the point where I just felt like I was really unhappy not being in a creative environment, because I'd been writing all my life, journaling and poetry and everything. And I finally, when I was able to quit and have another child, I was able to take some of that time and go through my years of journals and figure out a way to put together a story. And it's a good question, because it took me a long time to figure out how I wanted to write this. I did not want to write an autobiography. I did not want to write on, you know, Rachel was born on January 2nd, 1964, and here's where she is today. You know, it wasn't a full on my entire life. So I had to really figure out the ways to go about creating a memoir slash poetry, because I didn't want to do all poetry and I didn't want to do all memoir. So I just combined them. And the first, I honestly had no idea what the response would be, but it was kind of insane. I sold tens of thousands of copies of that first book called Broken Pieces. And so many people came to me via social media, email, blogging, newsletter, whatever, you know, just wanting to find a way to have a way to talk to another survivor and to share this kind of information. And so I saw a real need to get the work out there for, especially for women, because that's my experiences as a woman, it can be very, very hard. So that's really what gave me the reaction to that first book was so incredible that I ended up writing the second and the third. And I was picked up by a publisher and then they folded. And then I was picked up by an agent, but the books never got placed. And so I ended up just coming back to self-publishing, which I'm very happy about. You make the most money when you self-publish anyway. But my whole point was not to make money. My whole point was to get the word out there that it's okay. We did nothing wrong. And it's okay to write what scares you. And that's really my message for anybody listening.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Get that message out there indeed. Especially one that says important is that one indeed. Because it's crazy how these past couple of years, like, things just been coming out to the light about crazy stuff folks did in the past, and 4K now for everybody to freaking see, and now we have more tools than ever to really get the message out there and for more folks to embrace their dreams as a published author.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing, I think a lot of survivors or anybody who wants to write a book, you just don't know where to start. My suggestion, what I did is I took a couple online memoir classes, which were like $15 each. It wasn't super expensive. And I read probably 30 memoirs and probably 10 poetry books. And I thought, okay, that's the direction that I want to go. That feels right for me. It might not feel right for you or somebody else who's listening to this. So I think we all have to spend a little time writing stuff that no one ever sees to improve the craft, obviously, to get people's eyes on it, which can be the scariest part, before it ever sees daylight. So that's really kind of my focus now is helping people to write their trauma. I'm creating writing trauma prompts. I'm putting together a Patreon. It won't be expensive, like $5 a month. My goal again is really just to help people who may not have the tools or the money or the wherewithal to even go about trying to write what their experiences are. It can be very triggering for a lot of people. So it's important to walk them through various exercises in a way that is what we call trauma informed. So it doesn't make them feel worse. That's the whole point.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Sweet indeed. A lot of trauma out there. Sweet indeed. Trauma and drama and drama that created more trauma. Sweet indeed. That's right. Especially that shocking version too. It's like, oh darn. Too much electricity. Too much of it. It's like, ouch. Ouch indeed. So my goodness, so you eventually started Bad Red Head Media. So my goodness, what led you to really, I guess, create your own media company in a way? What was the catalyst for that after selling some magical books?
Well, I figured I was going to be doing my own marketing anyway, and I already had that marketing background. It was just really switching it from live and in person to digital. So for me, I started using Twitter in 2009, I think, and Facebook a little bit earlier than that. And I saw the potential for social media to be used in a very strategic way. Most authors will put repeated, almost sort of spammy, hey, buy my book tweets or posts up. And that gets very dry and boring. People want to see who you are, what you've done, what's going on in your life. So in order to come across as authentic, you don't want to just be sharing constantly, buy my book, buy my book. It gets very old. And unfortunately, a lot of people use social media just in that way. And it's not really helping them, because what's the strategy? The strategy is just to put up a bunch of tweets and hope people purchase a book, right? There's a lot more that goes on behind that. So I really focus on everything having to do with the author platform. And that was one of my biggest lessons, because when I came into it, I didn't know anything about self-publishing. Amazon and KDP were new. Like, it was really like the Wild West, right? But now that I've done it, I've written 8 books of my own, and I'm actually in the final process of helping my mom, who's 83 years old, write her very first memoir cookbook. She's a wonderful chef, so home chef. So we're working on that too. So that's been really fun. And now I'm working with a friend of hers. It's called book shepherding. People probably have heard this term. You just kind of help people through the writing process. So what I found was there were certain things that I was really good at with regard to social media, marketing, getting reviews, writing newsletters, all that stuff. And then there's other stuff that I suck at and I hate. Like, I don't like making graphics. I don't like making visuals. But I hired an assistant who is also a survivor who loves doing those things. So it's been a real education for me in focusing on what I'm really good at. And I saw that need because there's so many people who don't really understand the most strategic way to utilize not only social media, but also your website, your blog, your newsletter. You have to get people in all different areas and not everyone, like, for example, if all you do is hang out on Twitter, I don't mean you, Dom, I just mean in general, people, and most of your... What?
I was just laughing at that one.
Okay.
She's like, not but you. If, I'm like, I know she's not talking about me. You're good.
Okay. So like, but if most of your readers are over the age of 60 and, you know, they're going to be hanging out mostly on Facebook, or maybe they're over on Substack and that's where you can connect with people. So there's just lots of different ways to raise our visibility. And I'm always looking at it as an overall sort of umbrella. Everything we do, every tweet, every YouTube video, every blog post, those all go to your Google ranking. So the most important thing, let's just say somebody puts in podcast hosts, for example, Dom, we would want you to come up. So all the things we do are to help that overall Google SEO. And the reason I still am on Twitter, even though it's called X, which I think is stupid.
Amen.
Yeah, it's because they have a fire hose agreement with Google. So they do index tweets and it creates what's called a knowledge panel. So that so far has not gotten screwed up with the whole takeover of Musk of Twitter. If that goes, I don't see the benefit of staying on X. But for now, I think it's still really helpful for your overall SEO on Google.
Yeah, you're so right, because I flipped through a few pages of, I forgot which, it might have been a 30-day challenge book where I actually noted that, and I'm like, you know what, that makes so much sense, because usually with my recent, like, Google alerts, like, when it comes to my name, it's just the freaking tweets I've posted.
Yes. And just keep in mind, they just switched from the twitter.com URL to x.com. So some people are complaining because their whole entire knowledge panels have been wiped out. But I guess they're looking for a way to fix that. So I'm not like super coder SEO person. I just know enough to do what I do. But I think that's something that is important for authors to understand. Are you spending time where your demographic hangs out? So a lot of people will come to me and say, well, like, I need to be doing dances on TikTok. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, you're a 75-year-old PhD and your book is about psychology. So that may not fit unless maybe you're the dancing psychologist or you're super comfortable on camera. But is his demographic going to be 16 to 24 year olds, which is the TikTok demographic? Probably not. So those are the things that I think are really helpful for us to look at. Like I keep saying strategically, but it's a strategy.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. Strategies are good. That's right indeed. Especially when you work on them, make them happen indeed. You're so darn right. It's so darn true. Because it's like, hey, name of the game, just be a person. Know where your audience is. Because heck, even having a conversation, funny enough, with my barber and one of his clients, when one of his clients is like, oh, yeah, he was so hopped up on Instagram. It's like, oh, yeah. But the client was like, hey, don't forget about Facebook. That's where the senior citizens are, buddy. And he's so right.
It's true. It's absolutely true. My mom is on there every day. She's 83. So, yeah, but I think, you know, the other thing too is to really look at it from how much time do you have to spend, not just on social media, but on your marketing overall. Are you building a newsletter? Are you doing promotions or giveaways or price reductions? Combine sales with other authors in the same genre. Like, Those are all the things that can start to feel very overwhelming. And so most people don't end up doing any of them. And then they're disappointed because their sales aren't great. I mean, who wants to be an author putting up your book and be like, you know, hello, is there anybody out there? Right? So we have to get the word out there. And it has to be in places where your audience hangs out. It just makes sense.
That's right, folks. That's right. That's right. If your audience is firemen and there's a giant fire, be like, hey, you want to buy a book? Grab one of them who's not busy and boom. That's right, indeed. Go to RFID technology, Cash App. Here's a book, buddy. Here you go, yeah. Bernie.
Well, you're not too shabby. You have a book out, or more than one book, right?
Oh, yeah. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Three solos and two co-authored books.
Good for you. I mean, it's work. My mom and I are probably on the 30th draft of this book, this memoir cookbook, and we're doing the final proofing next week. And we're so excited. I mean, she's never thought of herself as a writer, but she actually wrote a beautiful book. So I'm so proud of her and really excited. I don't think it's ever too late to write your book. One of my clients is 85, I think, and he just wrote his first novel. And it's really good. So it's never really too late.
Sweet. I have to get mom's on here if she's up for it.
There you go. She can do Facebook. That's about it. But yeah, well, I'll let you know when it's out and we'll talk about it. I'm sure maybe I could sit there right there with her.
Woohoo! Mommy daughter time. That's right indeed.
She would love that. Yeah, it's been really fun. I'm very grateful that my folks are, they're older, but you know, my dad's going to be 87 next month, but they, you know, they drive, they live in their own home. They make their own meals. You know, they're doing really well. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Sweet. That's a blessing right there. Indeed. A huge one.
It is.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
It's a huge one. That's right. So my goodness, I know you mentioned Patreon. You got a plan for that page to be dropping soon with all sorts of magical offers. Is there any other plans you got cooking over the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, I'm writing a book called Writing Trauma, something along those lines. And I'm creating prompts for people that, as I mentioned, they're trauma informed. So the whole point is to help people write about the hard things in a way that's not going to be super activating or triggering to their nervous system. So I'm putting together that book in the course. And then I have a partner where we're creating this Patreon called The Write Lab, WRITE. I think it's very cute. And we're going to be doing all kinds of book marketing prompts, poetry prompts, Q&As. You can ask me anything for an hour and it's going to be like $5 a month to join. That's not available yet, but it's going to go live probably by the end of June. So I'm really excited about that. And I was, you know, the problem with my 30-day book marketing challenge, which I created because I think the first edition came out in 2018, was because I didn't know when I first started, where do I start? What do I do first? Do I try to get reviews? Do I try to blog? Do I try to build a newsletter? Do I do all these tweets? Like, what do I do? So I took it, everything that I've experienced over the past 7-8 years and put it all together in this 30-day book marketing challenge. And I've updated it every 2 years. But things change now. Every single week, the social media platforms are updating and changing things. So I've decided now I'm just better off putting it in a course that I can easily update. So that's my plan. And that'll go through the Write Lab and it'll be filtered through Patreon. But it's pretty affordable, $5 a month. It, you know, it's cheaper than if you bought the book. So I'm looking forward to that. I think a lot of people are moving further away from exclusively being on social media as their marketing preferences to something like Substack. I started a Substack in August. I have a sponsor who pays for advertising. It's the only time I've been able to write a newsletter every single week, like clockwork, because I love the whole platform. I love that there's not the cesspool of fighting there. I'm sure you could find it on there if you wanted to, but, you know, but I'm not, I'm, I'm only on social media for the interaction and learning and understanding what people are going through, and to hopefully funnel people over to learn more, whether that's about writing trauma, reading my books, or I've written 3 books for authors under the Bad Redhead Media label, the 30-Day Book Marketing Challenge, of course, and then a small book on SEO and another one on branding. Branding is really the thing that seems to trip most people up. They feel like it's a very foreign concept. When in fact, what I tell people is branding is, at least as an author, we brand the author, not only the book. So we want to know who you are, what makes you tick, what do you find interesting, what are you really good at, what are you terrible at and want to learn more about. Those are all the things that we can share on social media, and it doesn't just have to be pushing our books the whole time. So I really want people to understand by going through the course that it is not about just the spam and the promotion. It's really about creating an interactive reader author platform wherever you happen to be. Most of us prefer to be in one place over another. Like for a long time, I really did love Twitter over Facebook. I'm not a huge fan right now, but I'm still there. And again, Substack might be the answer for somebody who, like me, I couldn't blog and write a newsletter. So now I just combine them into both. And it's on Substack and it's free if anyone wants to subscribe to that as well. So I have a lot of things going, a lot of projects, and I love it all.
Sweet. So I'm talking about indeed. I'm guessing, is Substack basically like a blog, but really for those who actually choose to subscribe to you, do they only just see yours or do they see other Substacks at all?
If you go to substack.com, you will immediately be able to start reading newsletters. Some people put them behind a paywall. Mine is optional. So if you want to read, I think I've just did my 41st newsletter since August, and all but one I think is free. So I'm not looking to make a huge amount of money here. Of course, that would be wonderful. Again, my goal is just to get out a lot of this information that people find to be very overwhelming and breaking it down into small little chunks. Like I said, weekly prompts. So I do think that Substack gives you a lot of internal marketing. So technically it's a newsletter platform, but it functions. Are you familiar with Medium, medium.com?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So it's like medium.com, but it goes to your subscribers. So I already had probably 2,500 subscribers using MailChimp or whichever one I used. I imported them all to Substack. There's no cost involved. That's another benefit as well. They do take a small percentage if somebody pays your $5 a month charge or whatever. But yeah, you can read all kinds of wonderful stuff. And most journalists and many, just millions of writers have moved over to Substack. And they started something called Notes. So you can talk to people kind of like if you're on Twitter or Facebook. You post, they respond. So there is an interactive element to it now as well, which is really nice.
Sweet, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, quite a few guests probably over the past year mentioned their Substack page, and I just never made the time to really actually pay attention to it. It's like, oh yeah, let me go ahead and put my email in here. All right, cool. I'm part of it. Yeah. I'll get around to opening it eventually.
Yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of people, like I have one client who does a monthly blog about, again, psychology type topics. And then he does a once a month Substack where he says, here's what I've read. Here are some books. Here are some articles. Here's what I published over the last month. You know, my new book is out, whatever. And that way it's newsy. And I think a lot of people don't understand what to do with the newsletter or why they even need to have one. And it really comes down to the law. If you have, let's say you have 1,500 people you want to email because your new book is out. If you emailed all those 1,500 people directly all at once, they call that spamming. and that violates the FCC's Can Spam Act. It's a whole thing. So that's why we have newsletter companies. So you're totally compliant if you go through Substack, and there's no charge for it. So I always tell people, if you ever thought about growing a newsletter, do it on Substack.
Sweet. I imagine you get to keep the list too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Oh, it's my list. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the most effective ways that I have learned to grow my email list, regardless of where it's housed, whether it's on Substack or somewhere else, is using a company called Book Sweeps. I don't know if you've heard of them. They don't pay me to say this. It's like $50. You do a genre promotion, 100 books, a free Kindle. It runs for 3 weeks. And then you get a list of anywhere between 300 to 1,000 new subscribers. And so I can import those lists as I do these sweeps into my Substack and build it that way. And I wrote about that. If you look up Bad Redhead Media on Substack, you can read any of the articles about that. And you're certainly welcome to, anyone can email me with questions as well.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. It ain't just a sub, it's a whole stack.
That's right. It is a stack, definitely. I find the articles there are much more satisfying, I think, because, you know, writers love to talk about writing and the craft of writing. We don't really love to talk about marketing. So I feel like that's where I'm going with it. And I feel comfortable in that niche. And I think it's everyone has to decide what's better for them. And if you don't have the ability to do it all yourself, you could certainly hire someone like myself, or even consider maybe a virtual assistant or an author assistant who can do a lot of scheduling and creating visuals and stuff for you so that you can focus on your writing.
Word. That's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Some good stuff indeed. She's only getting started indeed. Because, yeah, sounds like that's the new big fancy toy for writers. Like, hey, start a Substack page. But, hey, it's even better than that. You actually get to keep your list, which is immensely valuable indeed. Because, so right, like, social media companies changing every darn day. And it's like they're trying to screw the user over a bit because they want to make more money. And it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, it's a business. But it's like at the same time, it's like, no.
Yeah. You know, and we are subject, or I guess victim, I don't want to say victim, but we are subjected to these algorithms that we have nothing to do with and don't really know. We just can guess at them, right? I'm sure Substack has an algorithm too. All I know is that since I started using it, and they don't pay me, I'm not being paid to say this, I'm getting a 30% open rate. I used to get about a 20%. And I'm getting every week, I get somewhere between 2,000 and 6,000 views of each post, which I never got that before, whether I was blogging or sending out emails through MailChimp. So to me, I think if you can spend some time with it, then go ahead and do it. Again, that is a service I offer for people as well. So I think it's helpful to think about a blog separately than the newsletter. And they'll still get in the mail if you are switching them. That's a big concern for a lot of people. What if I'm on MailerLite or MailChimp? How easy is it to switch? And I can tell you, I downloaded a file and I uploaded a file and I was done. It was that easy. So for anybody who has concerns that it might be super complicated, it's really not.
Hooray. All right. That's right, dude. Don't have to be a rocket scientist, y'all. That's the good news. That's right.
Right? You don't. But a lot of things, I think it comes down to, for most authors that I have spoken with over the last 15 years, it comes down to two things. Well, three. Time, budget, and knowledge. And so if you have one of those three things, then you're doing all right. If you have two, then great. If you have three, you don't need me or anybody else. But most people don't have that marketing background. And so they just feel stuck and kind of lost. And I wanted to make it really easy for people to contact me. I do one-on-one consultations. If somebody can't afford me for a whole monthly package, I'm happy to do a one-on-one with you. And I give people homework. And then I follow up. So there's accountability with me. And that, I think, is part of it that's very difficult for us as well. As authors, we're sitting behind our desk, we're looking at a face on a screen, and we're creating content for this imaginary audience. It can be very difficult to connect with other people, which is why social media can be fun. It doesn't have to be like the cesspool that people say. I always say this about Twitter. I said, Twitter is what you make it. Twitter's always had that ability for people to go viral in a good way or a bad way. I don't know that that's ever going to change, but you don't have to participate in things where, you know, maybe it's a viral of some politician. You don't have to get involved in that. You can just focus on your writing and your topics and your comfort zone. Maybe step out a little bit of your comfort zone. I think that's important. But that's definitely what I think will be really helpful if people look at social media more as a way to interact with readers and connect and create that interconnectedness, because then they'll be more inclined to want to know what you write and who you are and what you do.
Heck yeah, especially when those mountains are involved. That's right indeed. So you're there, right, folks? That's right indeed. That's right indeed. When Rachel pulls out that lab coat in the writing lab, it's over, y'all. That's right indeed. That's
right. I know. Sit down and listen and take notes. No, I'm kidding.
No. Take the notes now. You gotta listen. Take the notes now. When the teacher's teaching, gotta listen. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. When the specs are on too, just leave an apple at her desk. That's right indeed.
That's funny.
So my goodness, so I know your 13th anniversary is coming up this August, I'm not mistaken, for Bad Redhead Media. So my goodness, is there, well, actually, that's the wrong two words I was looking for. So my goodness, so what would you consider your biggest setback in business that actually set you up for success?
Well, money is always an issue when you're running your own business and you're a one man or one woman show like I am. So it's been a challenge over, you know, the pandemic. I was able to get a couple PPP loans that were forgiven and that kept me going. But I think for anybody who wants to go into business for themselves or who is an aspiring author, I think it's important that we have very realistic expectations. A new business can take up to 5 years to start turning a profit. So you have to have that money set aside. I did not. And then I got divorced. So it just went downhill from there. I'm fortunate, though, that I have wonderful connections, a very supportive family. And that really, I read this quote the other day. I was in a space, an audio space on Twitter, and it's from Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote A Raisin in the Sun. And she said, she had this beautiful poem from a different work. And at the end, it said, I feel desperate, but desperation brings change. I know I'm paraphrasing. So for me, it was like, wow, if you ever get to that point, you're spurred into action. So what action are you taking to make sure that what you went through, you don't go through again? And sometimes it's just happenstance. Things happen. I mean, nobody could have predicted a pandemic and then a recession. Like, there's just no way. So it affected everybody in specific ways. So for me, my best advice, of course, is always pay yourself first. And then it's okay if you have to get a loan. Just don't get stuck in like predatory loans. Be very smart about the type of loan that you get for your business. And the other thing to remember, a lot of people will say, well, I can't afford you. You're too expensive. I'm not cheap. I'm not a gig on Fiverr, right? But the thing to remember is we can deduct those expenses as business expenses. And that's what I really want people to look at is writing is a business. You're going to get royalties. You're going to pay taxes. You may even have to get, depending on what city you live in, you may have to get a license to be able to, quote unquote, operate a business. Even though it's just you sitting at a desk and uploading your books, it's still a business. So I just tell people, keep in mind, have a good accountant, have a business plan, and take classes. There's so many amazing classes out there now. Most of them are free if you go to your local community centers or take a community college class on, you know, how to market your business or how to not fail. But it is a struggle. There's no question. It's been 13 years. I love what I do. And I always wanted to be able to say that. And when I worked in big pharma, I couldn't say that. And now that I'm writing and now that I'm working with writers and creatives and small businesses and helping them with their marketing, it's just, I love every minute of it. So I think if you can love what you do and make a living at it, there you go.
Sweet. So I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about in date. Because, yeah, 13 years is no easy feat in business. That's right, indeed. Folks are lucky if they make it to five. That's right, indeed. And they make it past five. That's right. She's doubled it and some.
Yes. Talking. Knock on wood. It's good, though. I love it. I love everything I do. I love this business. I love helping people think of marketing in ways they hadn't thought of before. So to me, it's all kind of an adventure. And so that's what part of what I love. I may be sitting in my office in Northern California, but I can still be, you know, researching and going different places through all these client stories, which is really wonderful. I've met some amazing authors, amazing people.
Oh, that's right, indeed. So amazing. It's a corn maze. That's what I'm talking about. That's right, indeed. Sir, they're right, folks. Nothing but the best folks to pop on this show, indeed. That's right, indeed. Aww. Our business is going to be a teenager this year, y'all. That's right. So that means the rebel years are coming. That means freaking expansive growth, y'all. Explosive growth.
That's right. Indeed. That's right. Absolutely. I didn't even That's think right, of it indeed. That way. I have a 13-year-old. Thanks a lot. I got rid of all of them.
That's right, no escape.
That's so funny.
That's right, indeed. At least toilet paper is not as cheap anymore, so you don't have to worry about your business TPing other businesses.
Yeah, that's true. Safe there.
That's right, indeed. We're the bad redhead media. We all have red hair. We're bad. That's right, indeed. Oh, yeah, you're good. You do good work. No, our bad isn't the real bad. We're going to do bad things to you. Oh, we're just joking. We're really good. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
don't
know.
Worry. Just ignore the toilet paper. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's all good. It's all good.
That's right, indeed. And then some folks from 2020 PTSD will be like, wait a second. They got a gang of toilet paper. That means they're rich. All right. Let's show them some business. Let's give them business. They got toilet paper. That means they have money. All right. That's right, indeed. They, you know, they have connections.
I mean, really, the pandemic was just insane for so many people. I never thought I'd live through something like that. Did you?
No.
Right? Like, I'd seen movies, but, you know, not in this lifetime. My parents related a little bit because my mom was born in 40 and my dad was born in 37. And so growing up, the scare was polio because it was communicable. So like people wouldn't let their kids go swimming in the swimming pool and everyone had neighborhood swimming pools. This was like the 50s. So they really lived in terrible fear of that. And one of my clients actually was hospitalized and put into the iron thing or whatever. They made him go in to straighten out his legs. And it caused terrible PTSD for him for many, many years. It's really sad.
Oh, yeah, the iron lung, right?
You know, I don't know. Was that polio affected your legs. So I think they had to put these leg casts, you know, like metal casts. And then they kept them quarantined by themselves. Literally, this guy was in there for a year. And I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yes. Ouch.
They don't do that anymore. But yeah, things that were normal back then, we look at now and go, oh my God, no way. But who would have thought we'd be in a pandemic and we couldn't find toilet paper and soap? I mean, you know.
Exactly. It's like, oh, folks finally started to start washing again. All right. Like, what happened to all this? Like, oh, is this why I got a pandemic? Y'all ain't taking no baths, nasty people. Let me stop.
I know. And I really think publishing changed quite a bit as well because people c couldn't submit stuff. People lost agents and publishers weren't publishing or they lost their jobs. So I feel like we're coming out of that now. And now there's more books being uploaded to Amazon. I think I read somewhere it's like 5 or 10,000 a day are being uploaded to Amazon.
That's right. We had the baby boomers after the pandemic. Now it's the book boomers.
I'm okay with book boomers. I'm a book boomer. I love books.
That's right indeed. Book boomers, the best boomers. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So since you've been on a few, quite a few interviews before, doing some magical work across the magical globe, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on interview mode?
Gosh, I don't know. I think you asked me really good questions. Sometimes people ask something sort of off the wall, like what's something you're known for that people would never believe. And I always think that's a fun one. I ask questions like that as well. I took classical piano for 10 years. I was tested at a college level when I was probably 10 or 11 years old, probably 10. And I didn't do that great because I was really scared of being in front of all these people. Like that just terrified me. I got over that fear. But I think as a young kid, I just played the piano because I loved playing the piano. I didn't play because I wanted people to come and watch me play. That was like my worst nightmare. Like I'm a writer, I'm an introvert. You don't need to be here, you know? So I think sometimes it's fun to share things that people might not know about you. So that's usually what I share.
There you go. That's right indeed. That Alicia Keys energy, y'all. Piano playing goodness. That's right
I still
indeed.
have my piano too. I started taking lessons when I was six, and it has gone from house to house with me. I still have a Yamaha. It's still in good shape. I have it tuned once in a while, and I still play.
Ooh. Will there be a music album accompanying a future book?
Oh God, no. No, I'm not that good. No. But I have thought about doing, I've never done my audio books. I would like to hire somebody to read for me because, it takes place as a teen, as an adult. And that's a real talent. But I also would love to have videos. I'm working on some video trailers. And so that's fun, to use the different music that's around. I think it's a really creative way to share our work. I don't think it's required. But I do think it's helpful. Audiobooks have grown. That's the fastest growing segment of publishing right now is our audiobooks. And so I think that's worth looking into for me because I've just never done it. I'd like to go down that road next.
Sweet. We need to read you to read some of your books now. Don't go throwing away the gift now. Come on now. That's right indeed. Well, folks want to hear from Rachel. You wrote it. We need to hear you read at least one of them at least.
Yeah, I'll think about it. I don't know.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't have to think about it. Just do it. Just put on some Nikes. You'll be fine.
I know. Put in some Nikes and read. Just do it. Okay, that's going to be my mantra today. Just do it.
Sweet. There we go. That's right indeed. Trying to get your voice in people's brains. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And besides, it's the other thing about the pandemic. It's like books are still amazing and good, but it's like with a book, you have to be with the book. Audiobooks, you can be mobile.
That's very true. Absolutely. Yeah, I mostly read ebooks. I mostly read digital now because one of the things that I don't know if you're familiar with this or any of your listeners, if you're reading a book in Kindle, Nook, any of those free reading apps, you can highlight and then share. So if there's certain quotes of your book or any book that you're reading, it doesn't have to be your own book, you can highlight it and then share that quote on social media, which is kind of fun. And then they'll tell you. You get a list of highlights. You can go to Goodreads or Amazon, and you can see which parts of your book are most highlighted by other people. So that's really good information. That's great marketing data because then you know if, let's say, you're talking about chocolate chip cookies and that is the most highlighted sentence or phrase in your book, then maybe the next book should be more about chocolate chip cookies, right? I mean, it's all about a learning and seeing what we can take from that. So I really enjoy, because, you know, people don't like Amazon. They don't want to take their book free. You don't have to. You don't even have to be on Amazon, but I will tell you that 90% of your sales are going to come from there if you're in the United States.
See, exactly. It's like, hey, so what if they built a freaking phallic symbol to the freaking moon? Like, go where the people are. You'll be fine.
You know, I mean, one of the gals that I worked with a long time ago, she said, people are really mad at Amazon, but you know what? They built a great mousetrap. So build a better mousetrap. And there's a lot of other opportunities out there for people that you don't have to just go through Amazon. But I definitely recommend it because it is Amazonian. I mean, it's kind of hard to get around how big they are and how many books they sell of ours.
Exactly. They got all the muscular bound women over there that are going to take over the world. That's right, indeed. That's sacred comedy. That's right.
Got it.
Well, since you brought up chocolate chip cookies, a fun question for you. Your fabulous book, The Bad Head Red... I know I could talk today. The Bad Redhead Media 30-Day Book Marketing Challenge. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, I would say it would have to be a combination pizza because it has a little bit of everything and it's still really good.
Sweet. Hey.
That was on the fly. I don't know. I'll be like, no, I should have said, you know, espresso martini or something.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it indeed. Besides, it's a fun question to get you on your toes and make people think about a book in a new way. You call books food for the mind. Well, it's like, all right, let's take it literally. What is it? What you put in your head?
Exactly. That's very, very true. Stephen King says that books are uniquely portable magic. And I agree with that. I also think my cat Pip is uniquely portable magic, but next to Pip, books definitely rank.
See, there you go. Get a Pip in your step, y'all. That's right, indeed.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, indeed, meow. That's right.
Well, the way that whole came about is I do a monthly book marketing chat on my Bad Redhead Media account on Twitter. It's every month. It's the first Wednesday of the month at 2:00. So I'm actually going to be doing the next one. Let's see where we're at here in 2 weeks. So anybody can come as long as you have a Twitter account. You can listen, etc. And one of the gals who was in there, we're always sharing cat pictures because, you know, we're writers. We have cats. And we decided to call my cat the book marketing cat for book marketing chat. So that's kind of just, people will say like, is Pip here for the chat? So Pip's sort of the mascot right now. And it's fun. It lightens up the mood when people see photos of Pip sitting on my computer editing.
That's right. Move over Dewey and AI. It's about Pip now. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Does Pip have a business card?
No, but Pip has stickers. This is really cute. So my daughter is at a graduate program at UC Davis, and she does a podcast called The Ear, which stands for Educated Art Review. Cute, huh? So they took Pip, he's our little mascot, and they made him like Pip with the pearl earring, Pippelangelo. So it's, I know. So my daughter and her friend created all these really clever stickers for Pip. He's the official mascot of their podcast, which is great. And a funny aside, when my daughter started last fall at Davis, her professor said, I need you to study cats in art. And she was like, you're kidding me, right? Like, you're going to pay me to do, she gets paid to do research. He's like, yep, cats. She was like, okay. So where else would that happen? Like that my kid would end up studying cats. It's very funny.
That's what I'm talking about, meow. That's right, indeed.
Cute.
That's right, indeed. Instead of kidding, it's kidding.
Yes. Yes. And then I just wanted to mention, if it's okay, Dom, you had said what's coming up for me in the next 6 to 9 months. I really started getting into helping people with professional author websites. I work with a wonderful company called Author Bytes, BYTES. If you go to authorbytes.com, you can see the options that they have. And they have been in this business for, I don't even know, 20, 25 years. And I learned so much from them, and they're just really good people. So if anybody is looking for an author website, I would suggest taking a look at Author Bytes. Or you can ask me, like I said, find me anywhere online at Bad Redhead Media, and you'll Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest. I'm everywhere.
Yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. That's right. Bonus points if you wear cat ears, meow. That's right, indeed.
You have a great laugh.
Oh, well, thank you. That's right. Okay. Appreciation, indeed. You know? That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year with all of your knowledge and experience, what advice would you give to yourself?
To not go to work for a pharmaceutical company. You can make it as a writer. You can make it as a content creator. You can make it as a marketer. When I was in school, my parents were very conservative with their money because there were five of us on my dad's salary, and he was a drugstore manager. So it wasn't a lot of money. So I would definitely not listen to what my parents and all their friends said, which was, you're never going to make a living as a writer. I would have tried to make a living as a writer. I sold some magazine pieces. I did some ghostwriting. I knew it was in me, but I didn't trust myself to be able to succeed. And I feel like that would be the biggest message to me, is to follow that passion. How many people know when they're 10 years old what they want to do and then get to do it? Not many. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be an astronaut. What percentage of little boys and girls grow up to be astronauts? It's infinitesimal. But if you feel like that's something that you're good at, then you pursue it. So I feel like that's would have been my message. And it's interesting, my daughter will be 25 this year. So it's interesting you brought me that question.
Ha ha, there you go, the mini Rachel.
Oh my God, she so is. But you know, I'm proud of her because I loved academia, but I didn't think I wanted to stay in it. That's her happy place. That's where she thrives, and she's very artistic. So it's a really good fit for her. But yeah, I think as 25-year-olds, we're like right between, we're an adult. We've been an adult for a while, but we don't have that life experience yet. So I'm really glad you asked that.
My pleasure, indeed. My pleasure, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because I kind of blame that good old Ben Franklin quote where folks die at 25, but it's official at 75, where it's like, oh, all right, well, if you're 25, what do you need to know to keep that fire alive or find a new one?
Yeah.
And stay motivated.
Yeah, exactly. It takes us a while, though. I think we have to understand what having doors slammed in our faces is like. And people who you think are going to help, who don't help. And it's okay, because that's where you find your mettle. That's where you find your grit. And being 25, you have to figure out a lot of that stuff, that the adulting stuff.
Yep, it's true. That's right, indeed. Especially nowadays with all the traps out there and all the distractions. That's right, indeed.
Yeah.
That's right, indeed. Many shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. That's right, indeed. That's right. Sometimes it could be 10 foot tall, and sometimes it's a 1 foot tall brick wall.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, indeed. God forbid it's a Lego brick wall and you're barefoot. It's game over.
Well, one thing I taught my kids, because my mom used to call me her iron butterfly, because I was so determined to do whatever the thing is that I set out to do. And so I told my kids growing up, if you can't find a way over, then go around. If you can't go around, then go under. If you can't go under, then retrace your steps and figure out a different path. But there's always a way forward. And so that's what I really want people to know, whether that's in your writing career, the marketing of your books, anything you're doing online, your job, your life, it's within us to find that way forward. We just have to kind of shut out all the noise of everybody else telling us what they think we should do.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. It ain't just hair either, y'all. That's right indeed. Do the do, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. My goodness, this freaking, shoot, this hour felt like freaking 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, this is freaking amazing. I'm like, man. And the beautiful thing is, folks probably only got 1.5% of what Rachel knows. So for those who need to dive in the other 98.5% of what the Radiant Rachel does to help others advance even further into the business of immortality, what's the best way for folks to do so?
You can find me pretty much anywhere online under Bad Redhead Media. I'm probably more on Substack and Twitter than anywhere else. But you can also just email me at badredheadmedia@gmail.com or go to badredheadmedia.com and you can see all what I do. My books are all linked there. And if you have any interest in any of the platform stuff that I offer, I'm happy to offer people a 10% discount if they mention that they heard about me on your program.
Woohoo! That's right indeed. That's right. Rachel got gifts. Make a man do tricks. You love to see it. That's right indeed. So hear that right, folks. Tricks ain't just for kids. They're for everybody indeed. So you heard it from the gracious lady herself. That's right indeed. She's only getting started, y'all. That's right indeed. So you heard that right. Head over to the magical Twitters and the Substack. Subscribe to her magical newsletter. Get the goods. And be sure to cop copies of all of her books and share it with your friends, your family, your cat, your dog, your penguin, your camel, your platypus, your duck. Heck, maybe share it with a goose. That's right, indeed.
A goose has to read too, right?
Heck yeah. Especially if it's a gray one too.
There you go. I'm all set for that. It's 5 o'clock here now. I get to go have my cocktail. So I'm set.
See, there you go. It might even be a Tequila Mockingbird.
There you go. You never know. This has been so fun. Thank you so much, Dom. I really appreciate the time you spent with me today. And I hope that my information is helpful. And if I have one message to share to people, I always tell folks to write what scares you. And that can be pretty mind-opening sometimes for people to just give yourself the permission. You don't have to worry that mom's not going to like it or that dad's going to be upset with you. They don't have to see it. You don't even have to publish it. But working through your healing can be very helpful in the in form of some kind of creative form, whether it's writing, art, music, whatever knocks your socks off. That's what you need to do to help yourself heal. And so I really feel like if we can own that, I don't have to own anything that was done to me that was a bad thing, like the childhood sexual abuse. I don't have to own that because I didn't do it. But I do feel like I can share what I've learned from it and help people that way. And that's really my goal more than anything, is to just really help people.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. Be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.